Miller was stunned. In his tenure at the company, Miller had been awarded a total of just 25,000 shares. "Michael, they'll never give it to you," he said. 500,000 shares was astronomical. "Well, you've got to start somewhere." Miller was amazed at Eisner's audacity. "So, do I have your support?" Eisner asked. "You know what, Michael?" Miller said. "You don't need it." The key holdout was ex-chief executive Card Walker, who was on a fishing trip in Arizona. Walker was still hostile to Roy and his ally Gold, so Wells flew there to meet him. He proved the perfect emissary for the conservative Walker. Walker was no more enamored now of Eisner than he had been before, but he could see the writing on the wall. "I guess we bet on the wrong horse," his wife had told Patty Disney, referring to Walker's earlier support of Miller. Now Wells stressed that if he and Eisner prevailed, and Walker supported them, he could keep his board seat and its perquisites. Trips on the company planes, events at the theme parks, openings, screenings, and, of course, director's fees. Walker not only agreed to support him and Eisner, he volunteered to give the nominating speech to the board. Wells called Roy from the plane on the way home. "Bingo," he said. The board met on September 22, 1984. Eisner invited his friends Larry Gordon and Michael Ovitz to await the final decision with him and Jane. The group made nervous small talk. Finally, the phone rang at noon. "Congratulations," Gold told him. "You got it." "We should open a bottle to celebrate," Ovitz said. "Don't you have some champagne?" Eisner turned to his wife. "Where is that bottle we got for Christmas?" He left and returned with a bottle of red wine. As Eisner started to open it, Ovitz interrupted him. "Wait, let me see that." It was a 1982 Chateau Petrus. "You can't just open this and drink it," he said. "You have to let it breathe." Eisner rolled his eyes and pulled the cork. With Gordon and Ovitz still in the room, Eisner called his lawyer, Irwin Russell, to finalize an employment agreement. "I don't care about salary," Eisner told Russell. "Just get me all the stock and options that you can." Russell and Disney arrived at a pay package that was even more lucrative than what Eisner had described to Miller, a base salary of $750,000 plus a signing bonus in the same amount, an annual bonus of 2% of any profit Disney earned in excess of $100 million, the most Disney had ever earned in a single year, and options to buy 510,000 shares of Disney at $57 a share, its current price. As Eisner had wished, it was the options that made the contract so potentially rich. That afternoon, Eisner and Wells joined the board for a lunch hosted by Roy at Lakeside Golf Club. Toward the end of the meal, Eisner turned to Roy. "Now that this is all over, what would you like to do?" Roy hadn't given his future role at Disney much thought, but on impulse he said, "Why not let me have animation? It's an arcane thing for you people, and I know the process and the people." "Great," Eisner said. He and Wells had been talking about shutting down animation, but if Roy wanted it, fine. That evening, Gold and his wife hosted a small celebratory dinner at his home on Alpine Drive in Beverly Hills. The Eisners and the Wellses were there along with Roy, Patty, and an investment banker who had advised Shamrock.